If you're here and you have sins underneath the blood, would you praise him? If that's you, if you've got sins underneath the blood, would you praise him? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Our only salvation. Our only cleansing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, choir, for that song. Would you turn in your scripture, the book of Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. We've been in this series, Knowing God Through His Names. And I'll tell you what I appreciate. I've heard you folks talking to one another about these Jehovah names and this series. And that encourages my heart that God is really making himself known to us through his names as revealed in Scripture. And we took a little break and we specified. And for 3 weeks of this month, we looked at knowing Jesus through his names. But we're going to return to knowing God through his names. And we have been talking about his Jehovah names, the great I am, and then I am this, and I am this, and I am this. And we've been looking at those. And so could you stand this morning? We'll read but two verses. Maybe we need some help. We got our amen corner sick and out. Brother Heath, would you mind to help us here? Amen. Just have one. It might fall asleep. If you have two, you can keep one another awake, see? Keep the preacher going. Amen. Thank you, brother. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And we learn when you see Lord all in uppercase, that's Jehovah, Yahweh. I am Jehovah your God. Verse 8. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am, here it is, Jehovah, which sanctify you. This is the name of God, Jehovah Am Kadesh. Jehovah Am Kadesh. This is probably one of the least known ones, and yet it is very frequent in Scripture. It's just rarely do we take the time to translate it back and call God the way he called himself at this period of time. He told them, this is what they would have heard. He said, I am Jehovah Am Kadesh. Jehovah Am Kadesh. Amen. The Lord which sanctify you. Amen. Would you pray with me and for me this morning? Why don't you kind of just stretch forth an arm this way? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we want to know you better before we leave this place. I pray there'd be a growing sense of your presence. God, I'm aware of my need of you this morning. I need you, God. We want you to be center. We want you, Lord, to be the focus. Lord, may we just have a growing sense of who you are and what you desire to do amongst us and in us and through us. Now, Lord, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Anoint me in a powerful way. God, anoint our hearts to receive. And may we leave here a people of God that's been touched and moved and stirred and changed. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. You can be seated. We went to put the clock back up on the back wall after the Christmas drama last Sunday night, and it doesn't work, the clock. Something happened to the clock. I see that as a blessing of the Lord. He just takes care of his own. I shouldn't have mentioned it. That wall will be lined with donated clocks tonight. I read this week one man asked his pastor, he said, let me get this straight. Do you get paid by the word or by the hour? I should have told you earlier, okay? Jehovah Am Kadesh. In this holiday season, some of the new folks wouldn't know him, but during this holiday season in our family gatherings, I was missing Uncle Dale, the retired minister many of you grew to know. And I know I've quoted him on this many, many times, but he had a saying. He would begin when we begin to talk about the things of God. And, you know, we have a whole new set of Christians you know, who claim to be born again, but if you would observe their life and living, it's indistinguishable from the world around him, around them. And he would always say this. He would say, you know, if Christ makes no difference, then Christ makes no difference. In other words, if somebody says, I've been born again, I've been saved, I've met Jesus, and there's no difference in their life, either one or two things. Either Christ made no difference, or they never really came to him, one of the two. I'm inclined to believe that he does make a difference. How many would agree with me? You know, the greatest witness the church has ever had through the ages, the greatest witness the church has had of the power of God was the testimonies of the people of the church testifying what a change Jesus made in them when they came to know him. I mean, folks would tell of how when they were born again and converted, their lives completely changed, the difference that came upon them. That was the witness of the power of God. You know, I have found, you know, two things, you know, and I remembered when the world would truly marvel. I mean, they would know folks who had become converted. They had been their friends. And the world would marvel how when that individual came and told them, I've been born again, the world would marvel because they could see the change in their lives. You know, the world's not marveling at Christians anymore. In a large degree, the world is mocking Christians. Because they are used to Christians saying, I've been converted, I've been born again, I know Jesus, I'm a Christian, and then living no differently than the world around them, and there's nothing to marvel at. The world actually makes fun of folks like that. You see, somewhere along the line, folks need to understand, he is Jehovah Amkadesh. He is the God that makes a difference. I truly believe this. God is not the God that when he encounters a person, he leaves that person the same. There's going to be a change when somebody encounters God. Amen. God does not lift a man out of a muddy pit and leave the mud on him. Amen. God does not deliver a person from slavery and leave the shackles and the chains and the yokes upon him. God does not save a young person and leave the curse words in their mouth. God does not save the alcoholic and leave the bottle in his hand. And I know sometimes there's a process, and I know sometimes there's a series of encounters with God. But one thing's for sure, when somebody meets the Lord, they realize everything is changing. If you don't believe me, Apostle Paul said, if any person be in Christ, he is a new creation, and all things are becoming new. Amen. I believe God is not just the God that saves. He is the God that sanctifies. He is the God that sets apart. He is the God that transforms. He is the God that makes us different than the world. He is Jehovah Amkadesh. Amen. I kept thinking of that old song as I was preparing. And just one phrase of that song said, it's different now. Since by his blood, I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you've met the Lord, it's different now. Satan may try to convince you it doesn't happen. Amen. Satan might try to convince you you're the same old you. But if you've met the Lord, there's a change. There's a difference. Aren't you glad he didn't leave you the same? Hallelujah. He is Jehovah Amkadesh. As we've been doing, so we can have a grasp and an understanding, we've been looking at the setting when God revealed each of these names. I read the verses to you as Moses talked with the people of Israel. And he said, sanctify yourselves, therefore be holy. I'm the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Or I am Jehovah Amkadesh. What's the setting? Amen. God has delivered his people from cruel Egyptian bondage. But now they're in the wilderness. They've been slaves. They don't know order. They don't know how to govern themselves. They're not an army. Amen. They're just in every sense of the word, an unformed, undisciplined people, a disordered people. But he didn't just bring them out of Egypt and out of bondage. He immediately began to work with the Israelites to make them a distinct people, a people who knew their God, a people who worshiped their God, a people of rules, a people of regulation, an army that was mighty and strong. Amen. In other words, he brought them out of slavery, but he did not leave them slaves. He began to make them, in every sense of the word, his people. If you read the book of Leviticus, some people like to avoid it. They get bored with it. I think it's one of the greatest books of the Bible, and it has a theme, and the theme is this: how do an unholy people walk before and worship a holy God? How do an unholy people walk before and worship a holy God? Yes, they've been brought out of Egypt. Hallelujah. Yes, they're free from the taskmasters. Glory to God. But now God is going to show them how to walk before him and how to worship him with holy hands and holy hearts. Amen. Yes, he's a God that delivers. But he is Jehovah Emkadesh. He is the God that sanctifies. Amen. If you begin to read the book of Leviticus in every reference to morality, in every reference to spirituality, this name of God is used, Jehovah Emkadesh. In fact, in six times in only two chapters, God reveals himself. When he's talking about living differently, he reveals himself as Jehovah Emkadesh. He begins to talk to the Israelites. He said, the nations round about you are going to fornicate. You won't. The nations round about you are going to commit adultery. You won't. Even the nations round about you will get involved in witchcraft and divination. You won't. The nations round about you will sacrifice their children to their idols. You won't. You are my people. You know the true God. You'll be different. You'll live different. It'll be different in your home. It'll be different when you come to the temple. It'll be different in your field. It'll be different in the marketplace. Because, yes, I delivered you, but I am Jehovah Emkadesh. I'm going to make you my people. The world will know that you're my people. Six times in two chapters, he emphasizes, I have purchased you. I have redeemed you. And now you're going to be different. Different how? God answered, you're going to be different like me. Oh, hallelujah. I wondered as I was preparing, is it so hard for people to grasp today that God wants his people to be different than Satan's people? Why is that hard? What's the disconnect that God desires his people to be different than Satan's people? Jesus made that clear. We're either children of God or we're children of Satan. Paul, he dealt with this. He wasn't talking about a person's career, but he was talking about their walk with God. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You've been called out of darkness, so don't live like darkness. Oh, hallelujah. You've been called to the light. Amen. Live like the light. And so God began to talk to the children of Israel. And he said, sanctify yourselves, or consecrate yourselves, or separate yourselves. He gave them laws. And those laws are fulfilled in Christ and what Christ does in our life. But he began to give them laws. Don't go there. Don't practice that. Don't bring that into your house. Amen. Now, I don't have time to get into the theology of this, but God said, sanctify yourself, set yourself apart, and he gave them these things to do, but that did not sanctify them. That did not make them different. That did not make them pure. That was their role. That was their responsibility. You don't worship that idol. You don't do that with your children. You don't bring that in your home. But God said, if you will do that, then I will sanctify you. Hallelujah. There's certain things we can do, practical things, logistic things, but when we're talking about the heart and the mind and the intent and the motive, only God can make that. You see, if we just did it all, it would be a facade. It would be an act. It would just be just man's filthy righteousness. But if you know, if we can bring ourselves before God and consecrate, He does the work. He's the one that made. Nobody here made yourself different. If there's a difference in the way you live, a difference in the way you talk, a difference in the way you walk, amen, God made the difference. He said, I'll make you holy. I am Jehovah, Am Kadesh. Every time God said that, He was saying in essence, I will make you different. I know I mentioned it, but the problem is God had delivered Israel from Egypt. He had delivered them from slavery, but a bunch of them were still acting like slaves. Aren't you glad if you've been born again, you no longer have to serve sin? Let me say it again. If you've been born again, you no longer have to serve sin. Glory to God. Amen. Not only will He take us out of slavery, He'll teach us that we are no longer slaves. I've heard this saying a lot. Used to, back when someone came out of eastern Oklahoma or the mountains of Arkansas, and when I moved up here, I heard it, you know, when folks came from the country. But I've heard that saying, you know, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. Anybody ever heard that? You can take the boy out of the country. You can't take the country out of the boy. You can take him out of Oklahoma. You can't take the Okie out of him. Well, I'm sure there may be some truth to that. But when it comes to spiritual things, I strongly disagree. God not only took them out of Egypt, He took Egypt out of them. And He did for you too. He not only took you out of the world, He took the world out of you. That's why some of you still drink all you want to drink. You still do all the drugs you want to do. Amen. You still get involved in all the field. The difference is you no longer want to. He not only took you out of it, He took it out of you. There's reason to rejoice. He's not only Jehovah Jireh who has provided deliverance. He is Jehovah Am Kadesh, who's made a difference and made a change. Secondly, the significance of the name. Verse 8 again, I am Jehovah who sanctifies. I am Jehovah Am Kadesh. This would be a good place, since we've had a hiatus in our series, to do a quick review. But if you read Scripture, God progressively reveals these names directly with the progression He makes in His relationship with us. We talked about Elohim, the God with the power to create. We talked about Jehovah, that I am what you'll need me to be set free. We talked about Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides the sacrifice, the substitution. We've talked about Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us from the ravages and the consequences and the diseases of our sin. We talked about Jehovah Nisi, the God who fights our enemies. And all of that God has done in our progressive walk with Him. But there's another thing that God does. He's saved. He's fought our enemies. He's healed us of things. He's provided the sacrifice. But He also wants to make us different. Jehovah Am Kadesh. And that's where we're at. And as we broke it down, we'll break it down quickly once again. Jehovah means the I Am, the eternal existing one. Am Kadesh means sanctify, set apart, holy. 700 times in the Old Testament, the Kadesh word is used to talk about things that are holy, things that are hallowed, things that belong to God, things that are consecrated, things that are set apart for the worship of God. And we'll put those things together. We understand that Jehovah Am Kadesh means the Eternal One who makes holy, the Eternal One who makes different. And I believe this Jehovah Emkadesh, no other name, reveals as extensively the character of God. The character of God. There is one attribute of God that encompasses every other attribute of God, and that is God is holy. Hallelujah. Amen. He is transcendent. He is unique. There is none like unto Him. Praise His name. Aren't you glad God is different than the world? He's different than the failures around us. He's different than the darkness around us. God is holy. God is set apart. God is beyond. That's why the prophets begin to say, He is God and there is none else. He is God and there's none compared to Him. He is God and there is none like Him. Why? He is holy. I said He is holy. Here's a wonderful thing. Not only is God holy in His character, above and beyond and separate, that's exactly what He wants to do for us. He wants to make us like Him. Oh, hallelujah. Be holy, for I am holy. The first act of God is Jehovah Emkadesh. Actually happened at creation. You remember in the account of creation, it says in Genesis, and on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. He set it apart. He said, now we could spend time here, we won't. We could talk about it a while, we won't. But in every other situation to consider, how did God sanctify the seventh day? Simple. He made it different. That day was different than the other six. Emkadesh, God made that day different. Not only did God sanctify a day, and I'm being merciful, I could spend a lot of time here, I won't. But not only did He sanctify a day, He sanctified places. He told Israel where their camp was. He said, this is a holy camp. The center of the camp where the tabernacle was, He said, that's a holy place. Amen. Later He called Jerusalem the holy city. And that mount where the temple was built, the holy mount. Why is it holy? Because it's going to be different. You don't worship on any old hilltop. You worship on that hilltop. You're not just any old people. You're my people. Hallelujah. He sanctified places. He made them different. They are to be places of worshiping Him and experiencing His presence. But thank the Lord, not only does He sanctify a day, and not only does He sanctify a place, but He sanctifies a people. That's a message in itself. Hallelujah. But did you know, basically, I'm going to condense it in about three sentences. He separated His people by two things, blood and oil. Hallelujah. How did He separate them from Egypt? By the blood of the Lamb. How did He separate them as a distinct people to worship Him in a distinct way? He sprinkled them with blood from the animal sacrifice. But He sanctified them by the oil. On top of the blood, He put the oil. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we're a different people by two things. Number one, by the blood. Amen. It's not our righteousness. It's not our goodness. We've been set apart by the blood of Jesus. We've been washed. We've been cleaned. But not only have we been set apart by the blood, we've been set apart by the oil, the Holy Spirit. We're not different because we have rules. We're not different because of any of the... We're different because people, when they get around us, they ought to experience and recognize that the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit is amongst us. Amen. The church is at these four walls. The church is the gathering of these people. You are the temple of God. This isn't a social gathering. This isn't a club. This isn't just another reunion. Amen. This is where the Spirit of the Lord, that's the only difference. I said, that's the only difference we have. The difference made by the blood and by the oil. Are you glad to be sanctified by blood and oil? Can I just say it? God's a difference maker. He's Jehovah Emkadesh. How many would agree with me when you hear or read the news? It's like this dark cloud anymore. Just, I have a word for about 3 years I've been using to describe what we see happening in our world. I just keep using this word, but you know, when you think the human race could stoop no lower, you read the news the next day, and they do. When you think they, people can't get any more degraded and perverted, they do. Amen. When you think there can't be any more evil, you'll read an account and think, what kind of twisted mind could conceive to do that? When you make a list, you always fail to condemn what's not in the list. I'm not trying to make a list. I'm just talking about things that are prevalent in the news, transsexuality, homosexuality. We look at those that are evil, but I'm going to tell you, just as evil is fornication and adultery and pornography in that witness. We read the awful things people are doing on these new drugs. Unbelievable, unimaginable things, immoral and crazy things from the new drugs. We read of the drunkenness. We hear of the flaunting of the violation of God and the filthy things people say and the violence. You may ask, what is that word you keep using? I keep using the word ugly. It's so ugly. And I never realized what I was saying until I got to really thinking about it. Let me just come in the back door of this. I kept using the word ugly, but I was telling someone there was a time. I'm going to tell you, some folks have taken the word holy and they've so abused it and made it something so other than it was. It's turned a lot of folks off. But I'm not talking about the holy that's attached to the traditions and the mindset of men. I'm talking about the holy that comes from the nature and the character of God. Because some folks have been turned off about that. I heard a preacher once preaching at a youth camp. And he said, I hate the word holiness. Maybe I could have some empathy of understanding some of the abuses. But he's missed something. Holy is the chief attribute of God. And he's missed something else. That true holiness. There's nothing hateful. There's nothing ugly. There's nothing but beauty to that word. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now I want you to think about this. If we don't get anything else from the sermon, get this. Everything we're seeing out there is ugly. What's happening to the home is ugly. What's happening to marriages is ugly. It's ugly. Anybody here going to agree with me? It's ugly. Read the Drudge Report. Watch the news. Read the newspaper. It's ugly everywhere. And here we have a God who is Jehovah Amkadesh. He saves a person and he takes that ugliness out of their life by separating them from that, by changing them and make them different. I want to tell you, there's nothing ugly about that. That's beautiful. And you know what that is? That's holiness. That's holy. Have you ever seen it happen? Someone, their mind is blown with drugs. Their body is emaciated by living in illicitness. And they come to know Jesus Christ. They walk in here with a hardness, a jadedness, a burned outness, a shell of a human soul. But they meet Jesus. And listen, when he truly saves them, he doesn't leave them in that hog pen. He takes them out of that hog pen. Have you ever seen the transformation on their countenance? Amen. Amen. That's beautiful. Aren't you glad for Jehovah Amkadesh that takes out the ugliness and puts in the beauty of a separate life? I know we still have struggles and this and that. We're still human and we're not going to get into all of those issues this morning. I'm not going to call any names. But I can look across this congregation and maybe sometimes you get discouraged with your walk with God. But I can tell you this much. From the time you walk through those doors with the ugliness of sin and a life of sin about you and came and gave your heart and life to God and begin to walk with Him and say yes to His Holy Spirit. When I think back to how you came in and the way your countenance is even in this service, there's only one explanation. He took the ugly away and gave you the beauty of holiness because He is Jehovah M. Kadesh. Oh, glory to God. That's why there shouldn't be any sad faces in God's house. He is the one that puts the beauty in. I spent way too much time, more time than I wanted to with that. Oh, but it needed to be said. Amen. And speaking in very simplistic terms, it's easy to look at our world and tell that our world needs a bath. But I'm telling you something more disturbing. In many, many cases, take a good look at the church, and the church needs a bath too. Oh, aren't you glad He's Jehovah M. Kadesh? He's the God that separates us. Amen. We need Him. Last of all, to summarize it all, what are we going to take home this morning? The sermon we'll take home from this name, Jehovah M. Kadesh. Amen. First of all, I want us to take home that a holy God demands that His people be holy. I said a holy God demands He'll settle for nothing else but that His people be holy. I'd be afraid to speak the blasphemous things that people do. People will practice the degradation of perverted relationships and say God told them it was okay, that God said it was all right, that they're not doing anything but showing the love of God. I want to tell you, they've not read the book. Even this book, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. God is holy. He told the Israelites, be holy, for I am holy. People would love to leave that in the Old Testament, but Peter did not. In 1 Peter, Peter said, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as he's quoting now, as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of lifestyle, conversation, because it is written, here it is, be holy, for I am holy. Hallelujah. He demands that we be holy. Amen. I could spend time here. I won't. I know I keep saying it this morning. I'm trying to encourage you here. Amen. I'm not going to spend time there. But if you look at the Old Testament and you can see that God demanded holiness of those that were just delivered by the blood of a lamb. I'm talking about when they killed the lamb in Egypt, put it on the blood on the doorpost. If He required holiness of the people of the Old Testament who had just been delivered by the blood of a lamb, do you not think He much more would require holiness of the people of the New Testament experience who have been delivered and set free by the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah! More precious than silver and gold, not by the vain conversation and traditions of our Father. It's all in there together. Amen. Peter said, you've been redeemed by that precious blood. Be holy as God is holy. Amen. You know what? Let me tell you two things about not living differently and letting God bring about this change in your heart and life. Number one, if I have had some kind of experience, if I claim to be a believer, if I claim to be born again, and I look at my life and there's no difference in the way I think, there's no difference in my appetites, there's no difference in my living, I will soon come to the conclusion that there's nothing to this salvation. There's nothing to this being born again. There's nothing to Jesus Christ. You see, the difference in my life lets me know His power is for real. That's one thing will happen. But if I live no differently in my Christian experience, it's not long till the world will conclude that very thing. When they observe my life, the world will say, there's nothing to that being a Christian. There's nothing to being there's nothing to that being born again. But I'm telling you, when a young person goes to public school and they don't tell the same jokes and they don't say the same cuss words and they don't get involved in the same trash, amen, and they tell people they've been born again, it's not be long till somebody's going to believe it, because they see the difference it's made. You go to work, amen, you tell the same filthy stories and claim to be a Christian, the world world will mock you and Christ and church and everything else and say there's nothing to it. Oh, but if you live different, if you live pure, they may make fun of you. They may tell jokes about you. You wait till trouble hits. They'll say that person's got something. How do you know? Because he claims to be a Christian. No, because he claims to be a Christian, but his life is different. His thinking's different. The way he lives is different. How come? Not only has he met Jehovah Jireh, he has met Jehovah Emkadesh, and God has made him holy. Let's take home with us that Jehovah Emkadesh will do the work if we desire it and we let him. He calls us to be holy, and then he's the one that makes us holy. Our own efforts, unless they're simply cooperating with him, our own efforts are man's righteousness, faulty motive, faulty performance, filthy rags. But if I have a heart that says, I want to be like you, he'll do the work. He'll make the changes. Oh, I know, and I've mentioned it several times, we can do certain things. We can say we won't watch this, and we shouldn't. We could say we're not going to pick up that worldly habit, and we shouldn't. We can say we won't go there, and we shouldn't. But in the end, we'll only be holy if we'll let God work in our lives and make the difference. Would you come, music? I'm going to tell you something else. And this isn't in the parallelism that I so like. And please don't misunderstand this statement, you that are deep thinkers. Just take it for what I'm saying. Let me tell you another way to say Jehovah Emkadesh. Could I do that? Another way of saying Jehovah Emkadesh is to say Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. Why? Because that person of the triune God, that's what he has come to do. Jesus sent him. His very name implies what he has come to do. He is the Holy. That's not just his nature, which it is, but that is his function amongst the people of God. Jesus said, I'll send the Holy Spirit to you. And you know what he'll do? He'll lead and guide you into all truth. You know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to convince us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit who's come to make us holy? Oh, hallelujah. Let me mention one more thing we need to take home for us, with us. Contrary to what some may tell you, only a holy church is going back with Jesus when he comes. He is coming to present himself a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. He's coming after a people who are clean and holy and righteous with the righteousness, holiness of God. Amen. 2016 is going to be a year of decision about differentiation. I'm not saying anything political. It's just a fact. You can't tell a Republican Party from a Democratic Party. People want to blur all distinctions. That's not an ethnic statement. That's not a political statement. It's a reality of our world. They want to homogenize everything. Everything's the same. Everyone looks alike. No distinction from gender. No distinction. But I believe we're coming upon a year where we're going to be called to make a decision. He that's holy, let him be holy. He that's unholy, let him be unholy. We can't be both. So we make a decision. How many believe he's coming after a holy church? Spot or wrinkle or blemish. Oh, there's no arrogance. If you feel like you're in that number, there's no arrogance. I said there's no arrogance if you feel like you're in that number. Because you're not saying, I did it. I put myself here. I got myself. If you feel like you're in that number of the Holy Church of God, you're lifting hearts of gratitude and say, the Holy God did it. He made me holy. He purified my mind. He made me different. Oh, anybody here believes we serve a God who can make us different? One of my favorite scriptures, Paul said, "Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God." People like that out in the world, they're not going to make it to heaven. Paul said, "But wait a minute. And such were some of you." One of the biggest mistakes folks make. I've chased so many rabbits this morning. I'm trusting God to lead me. But I'm going to tell you, it's one of the biggest mistakes folks of the world make when they come into place and they look around at the church, folks living different, worshiping different, changing their life, families. They think that those folks have always been like that. And so they conclude, my life's messed up, my family's messed up, I've got habits, I can't get rid of this drug problem or this cigarette problem. Those people have always been that way. I can't make that difference. There's no hope for me there. There's no reason for me to believe that can be true. I'm telling you the truth. I've heard them. They've come to me. They've turned around and left because they said, well, all those folks have always been that way. That's not true. You may not want to put your, and shouldn't, put your dirty laundry up to dry. But I want you to know, if we knew the testimonies of folks around this building, some of you, it's way back in the past, thank God. That's part of the difference. He puts those things way back. Some of it was years ago. But if we heard the testimonies, there were alcoholics. There were drug addicts. There were filthy minds amongst the group of people that are the church today. Am I telling you the truth? He said, and such were some of you. How many can just lift a hand of thanksgiving and say, thank God. And such were some of you. But what? But what? Ye are, come on, somebody fit. You are washed. Anybody here been washed? But not just washed. He said, ye are sanctified. Thank God he washes us. But he also sanctifies us. Not only does he wash off the sin, he keeps us out of sin. Not only does he save us, amen, forgive our sins of that wickedness, he changes our heart so we don't want to be re-involved in the wickedness. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. I've got to quit. But I haven't thought of this for years, but some 20 years ago or so, I was still pastoring here, but I preached a revival down in Kentucky somewhere. And from the first night, I noticed a lady, she was so excited. She was beaming the glory of God. She was praising God in every service, singing every song, amen, praying in every altar service, weeping and crying and rejoicing. And the second night or so, the pastor told me, did you notice such and such a lady? I said, yes, I did. He said, well, and I don't remember all the details, but it's real close to this. He said, well, just a couple of months back, she was walking the streets of this city. It was a nearby city in Kentucky. She was walking the streets of the city, selling herself as a prostitute, and somebody handed her a tract and told her about Jesus, and she came to know the Lord Jesus, and now she's in church. She's worshiping. You could tell the difference. You'd never dream that she had lived that kind of life because of the difference that Jesus made. How many feel something in your heart glorifying God? What a difference he can make. What a change he can make. Amen. Oh, how I want to leave it. I wish I could just leave it there. But just one more time to drive home the point. What if she would come to church and say, I'm saved. Jesus made it different. But Monday you'd see her back on the streets plying her trade. Would there be any glory? Would there be any rejoicing? No. The rejoicing is he has the power to deliver. He has the power to set free. He has the power to wash away the past. He has the power to make you a new creation. There is hope in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be an addict. You don't have to be an alcoholic. He has the power to deliver. Would you stand and worship him across the building? Oh, hallelujah. Maybe you've never called him that before. Would you lift your hands and say, thank you for being Jehovah Am Kadesh. Thank you for being Jehovah Am Kadesh. Thank you for being the God who makes the difference in my life. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I don't want to disturb anyone who's really trying this morning. So let me tell you, there is an immediate, complete transformation of the intent of your heart and the desire of your mind and the very nature within you. We have the habits of sin that love to hang on. And so therefore, God is gracious and he will give us a series of encounters with him through his word, in worship, in prayer, where sometimes it's a process of the differences and the changes being made. All of us can testify to that. Every change that needed to be changed wasn't made immediately, but the person was different. I said the person was different. If you want an example of what I'm talking about, there could be a person come in the street attire of their trade and come to this altar and get saved. They've not had an opportunity to change their attire yet, but you know they're saved. You know there's a difference. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about the rules of the church. I'm talking about the power of the eternal, holy God. Hallelujah. He is light. And when he comes in, light comes in and the darkness flees. Aren't you glad for a God who can make a difference? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's come pray. Hallelujah. And if you're here as folks are coming and you so desperately need a difference in your life, would you come? Would you come and kneel before him? Thank you for the difference he makes.
I want to be different.
Thank you for the
Jesus,
difference he makes.
Just
it's different
like
now.
You,
it's
I want to be tender with mercy guiding all I do. So when others talk about me, let it be because I am different.
Oh, Spirit of God, move upon us.
Let the
Holy
difference
Spirit,
be love. I want to be different,
hallelujah.
Jesus, just like you.
What a difference he makes.
I want to be tender with mercy guiding all I do. So when others talk about me, let it be because I am different.
Oh, I'm different. Like you.
Let the difference be love.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Consecrate me.
Consecrate me, Lord.
Dedicate me in every way, Lord.
That's where it starts, Lord. I want to be different.
In all I do.
I don't like that life. I'm tired of that way. I'm helpless to help myself.
Make me holy, for you are holy. Let me always walk with you. Yeah.